As a result, I got sent home early. I didn't before the end of the war. And so I looking for a job. Yeah. And I tried different places. And it was an interesting mistake that I made once. The doctor, before I was going to get an interview, he said, "Don't tell him you were hurt." And so I did that, and the first job I got was interviewed of me. Within days, you started as an assistant fishing game warden.
Okay.
You didn't start as a game warden, you started an assistant fishing game warden. And it was interesting because at that time, my wages were $201 a month.
That's something different.
And so I went to work with fishy game. And my first district that I worked in, and everybody, you started out as a district because they're all still in the war then. Mm-hmm. And I, goddamn stuff. So I had half of Los Angeles County.
Oh, okay. Were you in, southern or northern Los Angeles County? Were you in Angeles Forest?
Oh, I was in the Angeles Forest. Okay.
I'm from Southern California, so a little familiar.
Yeah. And head down across Mojave Desert and that stuff.
Ah.
And I was there for a short period of time, and I then asked for a promotion. Just a move, and so they sent me to San Luis Obispo.
Okay.
For really Pismo Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved up to San Luis Obispo. And I was there for 5 years. And then I ran into an old timer from fishing game.
Sorry, I'm turning this off. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay,
And he told me, he says, "Charlie, you're a young guy, and you're trying to get in the outfit now, and you're trying to get experience. One thing you got to do, you got to get experience in everything. You just can't be just a game warden. I mean, so to speak."
Mm-hmm.
And so I remembered that always, and I did. So I started moving every 5 years. I asked for transfer.
Just within the state?
In the state, yeah, in the state. And then as I got moved around, so I got different jobs. And I went to, I worked up in Northern California, in fact, up at right here for a while. And then I did this game warden job. And I'll tell you, game warden in those days is not what you see now today.
We'll go into that a little later.
And so, then I decided I better get going, and so I took the first exam and got up to be a regular game warden, not an assistant game warden. And then I stayed for quite a while at San Luis Obispo, 5 years, and then I asked for a transfer. And I got a promotion at the same time, and I asked to be moved into the Marine District, the ocean.
Okay.
And so they gave me an ocean district, and I ran a patrol boat.
Okay. This was still in San Luis Obispo, or?
Well, I ran it from, my district ran from Morro Bay to Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Long
a
Beach.
Big area.
Bigger. We had all those islands out there and everything else. So anyway, I did that for 5 years.
Okay.
And then I figured, well, you can't stay here all my life. I got to learn. So anyway, I took a job. I mean, I took a promotion exam and got another promotion. And then I was just sent to back to here.
Back to Sacramento.
Sacramento. Mm-hmm.
This was starting in the 1950s?
Oh, God, I don't remember.
Oh, it's okay.
But when the first time I was in Sacramento, they were just moving the so-called headquarter office for fishing game, which used to be San Francisco. And they moved it up here.
Okay.
In fact, we are state office building one.
Okay.
Then I got out again in the field, and I moved up. I did some jobs up north and on. Now, during this period of time, we just didn't work nothing but fishing game warden. We worked, helped everybody, mixed up between wildlife protection, which is wardens, mm-hmm. and big game, small game, and fish. And everybody would help. Like, we got, like right now, we had trouble feeding the deer.
Okay.
And so they sent us up there in a pair of snowshoes, and we hauled.
Oh, up into the mountains.
And hauled it out for the damn deer in a pair of snowshoes. So, yeah, we went all these different jobs. And then in the summer, we were trying to get a stock of fish from the High Sierras. And they sent us up there to catch the little fish and put it in. And we shipped it down to the hatchery. So we did many jobs. We just didn't just do that one job. And people don't believe it that we did all these things, but we did. Now they say they don't do it. And eventually, I went on up in the ranks, and I became the chief.
Oh, okay. Do you remember what year this was?
Well, I was a chief around this. Late something 60s.
Okay.
And then I took another promotion and eventually I became the assistant director. And this was kind of strange because this was the first person that ever came up through the ranks to be assistant director. And then as a result, the director then was always appointed by the governor. And he quit and went out and did another job. And the governor then put me to finish out the governor's term.
Mm.
And I became the director of fishing game. And when he left, the new governor appointed me again director. And it was quite an exchange because one was a Republican and one was a Democrat.
Okay. Was this around Pat Brown?
That was not Pat Brown, it was Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown, okay.
His first term.
Oh, okay. Yes.
His first term. And the director before that, the governor before that became the president.
Oh, Reagan.
Reagan.
Okay.
Remember that.
And
so I stayed as the director with Jerry Brown for 8 years. For his two terms.
Mm-hmm.
Then he retired, and I retired. And I retired in 1980. When the hell was it? I don't remember all this stuff. But anyway, I retired 1982, I think.
Okay.
But anyway. And so then the minute I got that tired, I was goofing around just for a week or so. And I got a call from the president. I got home one night and my wife says, "Hey, the president just called you and wants to talk to you." "President of who?" I said, "For Christ's sake, of the United States." And it was the former governor.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew me, because I worked for him. And so he said, I said, "I'm retired now, I don't want another job." No, I said, I got a job that only you can do, and I need it because it's very important. Would you come to work for me in Washington?" Well, the job was United States. And I said, oh, I don't want one of those. Well, he finally talked me into it. He said, oh, okay, I'll go for 3 years. What's the job? You got to go down in the Pacific and all the little countries that we took from Japan. There are 13 little countries. And each one put a 200-mile limit around its country, which completely closed its country for our big fishing boats.
Oh, okay.
And our fishing boats had to move into there because they couldn't fish where they were fishing because they were killing too many different things besides fish.
Okay.
Okay, so my job with one guy from the Attorney General's office, we went down to these 13 little countries, and it took us 3 years.
Mm.
And we were able to get a treaty with each one of them, all 13, just what they want, just like they wanted.
Okay.
And we brought it back, sent it before Congress, and in 2 months it was stamped out. You can't believe that either.
Yeah.
So then there I was, and I said, well, now what the hell am I going to do? And he says, stick around for a while. Okay. So I said, you and I'll determine the salary between us. Don't tell that, put it in the book, but anyway. Uh-huh. And he says, well, I'll give you a position you want, and you stay. Because I see, when I retired from the state, I did not, in 1961, they asked us if we wanted to join a joint retirement like they got now, between the feds and the state.
Okay.
And I said, no, I want to stay with the old, and I stayed through the old, and so I retired in the old system, so I didn't have all the nice little things that you had. So they put me in the federal retirement then, and I got all those other nice things. And so I thought, geez, I ought to use this, because I don't have these now. And I stayed 5 more years, which made it so I had Social Security, and I had all the other. And then I retired again after 8 years in Fed. And at that time I was assistant chief for the National Marine Fisheries Service. And my big job was taking care of all the whales in the South Pole and the North Pole.
Wow.
I had a lot of guys working for me. And so anyway, I did that, and then I retired again. And then I decided, what am I going to do?
And you were back here in Sacramento?
Back in Sacramento. Well, yeah, because I kept my home in Sacramento.
Okay. So
I did. My wife stayed here. And, well, she went with me a lot. But anyway, then I thought, well, geez, what am I going to do? So a friend of mine, there was a packer in the backcountry. He says, work for me, a packer in the backcountry. We'd give you all these guests you take out every summer, you know.
Like small tours?
Yeah. Well, small tour, 5 days.
Okay. Oh, 5 days, okay.
Yeah, most of them were 5 days. I had one, it was 10 days. But I did that. I said, okay, I went to work. So I worked for them for 5 years. Oh. I did that job. Well, you only did it during the summer because in winter there was nothing to do. And then I said, what the hell am I doing this for? And so I quit. And ever since then, I've been doing nothing. Well, I mean, little jobs here and there, but, you know. And I don't want to. And I see I'm now, in 3 months, I'll be 90 years old.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I've got myself 3 retirements, and I've invested my money in a nice way. We've got banks to give me advice and all that, and let's say that I don't really do a lot of things. I keep the house nice. I do that. My wife died 10 years ago, so I just did this, and then it makes it because I am doing very well. My investments have led me to the point where I've got over $3 million in the bank. and they're invested right.
Mm-hmm.
Bonds. And you know, that's what I do. But all the time when I was in Fishing Game, we not only did just one job like they're doing now. They're all like cops. And that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But we did everything. We helped the guys are going to have her move some elk someplace. We get everybody go down, move the elk, move this, move that, or ran the patrol boats. We did all these things. So it wasn't just single. And you know, when I went to work in Los Angeles County, I went to work in a pair of Levi's, a tack can shirt, and a badge pinned on it. I wanted to give you an idea. I collected all the badges in ever being there. And that's a collection of all the badges that Fishing Game ever had.
Wow. Wow. That must have taken some time.
No, it didn't.
No?
The first guy I worked for down in Los Angeles, he says, "Hey, God damn it, Charlie." He says, "You just take this big box full of old badges and take them down and get rid of them all."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Hell, I'm going to make a collection." So I went through them all, sorted them out, and that's what I got. That, which wow. is one of each one of ever issued.
Huh. Oh, does some of it go up to today?
Yeah.
Oh.
Top.
Oh, this is the top one. Okay. Wow.
Oh, that's my badges. Federal badges, state badges, and all that. And my ones I had in the Navy. But anyway, it came out, little things like that. And I always kept things, I just like to see them. I kept shoulder patches.
Oh, okay.
Here. Show you all the shoulder patches I wore. And during the time, there's four of them.
Oh, yes, I see them.
So those were on. You know, things like that I did. But you did a lot of work.
You were very active.
Yeah, you know, you just didn't wear a uniform and all. I didn't. Most of the time I wore Levi's and a goddamn khaki shirt. And we've been, all of us did. All of us came in. But we moved around all over. When the flood was years ago, we had the big flood up north, and a lot of our guys. I didn't go clear up on that, but a lot of them did, and they got merit badges and everything else for them. But we did things like that, see, and so we, as I say, I enjoy life. But it wasn't like the game wardens are now. And they got a different type of job.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I seen the paper the other morning, they got that 400-pound bear up in Los Angeles County.
Oh, yes, and I remember
so
reading
they,
that one.
You know, they went in there and synchronized it and shot it and put it in the trailer and hauled it away. We did that, too. I never forget when I did. We always had bear trouble at Tahoe. Bear like to sleep in the basements of those houses all winter.
Oh.
And they'd tear the doors off and everything to get in there, and away they go. I never forget when I moved one once, and the bear were easy to put it in. We had big tank traps on two wheels, and they'd go up and put strawberries in them, and they love strawberries.
Yeah.
So I caught this big old bear, closed the lid, and we hauled him away 45 miles away. And he damn near beat us back. He didn't. He almost beat us back. But anyway, the experience is like that, you know. But it was different than they're doing now. And don't get me wrong, they're doing a good job, because their pay should be equal to the CHP, but it's not. And they got a job wearing a uniform and all the guns and stuff. But hell, I never wore a gun. Well, I had one in my car, but I never wore one. And I got along with lice. I put guys in jail and didn't put them in jail. whatever we were going.
So there was a little bit of law enforcement mixed with your job?
Oh, with the job of the whole department getting a big main job done.
Okay.
You know? And it, we needed it that time because, you know, I think we didn't have much over 1,000 during the winter and then come 1,000. I mean, of all. And then come summer, we had all kinds of people to work with because we got them through federal jobs and all that. But it's, you know, I could tell you stories about all kinds of things we did, but it was different then, and we all worked together. And then finally, when I was appointed director, I know everything was said, we were the first guy that came up through the ranks and became a director.
That's pretty good.
They used to say, after that, we had directors. And they say, how the hell did you get along with all these people out here? Because you had everybody, the wardens and everybody. And I say, why? Because I worked with them all during the time, and they trusted me. And that's why I get. But anyway, it was those are the things we did. Now that's quick, dirty, and not.
Going back a little bit to when you were first starting out as a warden, did you attend a training academy, or did you go right in from your time in the Navy, you said?
And, well, I was when I was looking for a job after I got out of the Navy.
Okay.
No, I went right to work.
Oh, okay.
We didn't have an academy. In their schools. We had some later on.
Okay, so you've already explained kind of where you were based as a warden. You were at many different places in that.
Oh, yeah.
You're in Morro Bay and Los Angeles up here.
You know, like when I was in Los Angeles, I had half of Los Angeles. And the other guy had the other half. He'd say, hey, I'm going on vacation. So I took the whole thing. things like that.
When you were working as a warden, was there a lot of time when you were... nowadays, they call it the lone wolf experience. In other words, were you working alone a lot of the time?
Always.
Okay.
Oh, once in a while, we'd get together and do things. And then when I had to put a patrol boat, I had to have people with me. So, and I ran the boats. But, no, most of the time, I was alone. I never forget when I was in San Luis Obispo. I had all that San Luis Obispo County, half of it, and had another warden on the other half. And I had all the old Hirsch property, you know.
Off San Simeon.
San Simeon, up from Morro Bay on up to the Monterey Line. And it used to be about 50 miles up there. But one night I got a call in the middle of the night, and it's that foreman that ran the cattle and stuff for Hirsch up there. And he says, God damn it, Charlie, I got a guy here who's trying to spotlight deer. And they said, I'm going to hold him, get up here. So I got dressed and got in my car and 50 miles up there and got there. And that was when Highway 1 wasn't much used. And he's holding this guy in the middle of Highway 1 with a shotgun, pointed at his head, and said, now you just move and I'll shoot your head off. I thought, oh, God, we don't need that. So I took him down, put him in jail, and all that sort of thing. And that was nice because we had, he didn't have the courts as they got them now. We had the old courts where they just appointed somebody as a judge. And I never forget, next morning, I got the guy out of the jail and took him up to court, and the judge said, to tell me the story, and asked the guy. He said, I wasn't spotlighting all this. And then he looked at me and he says, Charlie, was he spotlighting? I said, yes. If you said he's spotlighting, he was spotlighting. He's guilty. That's the way life was. But it worked. But we did a lot of things. We did trade and work with it. Deer guys, we trained and worked with it. All kinds. We all worked for the same job, get the total picture of what fishing game does together. Because we had to. There wasn't that many.
Yeah. Okay. You've kind of gone into, you've talked about at least your role as a fishing game warden going all the way up to director, and that during your time over the years, did your job responsibilities kind of evolve over time for just as a game warden? Did they change? Not so much like you were earlier comparing to now, but...
No, it stayed about the same.
Okay.
Because, well, I didn't want to see the guys join the unions and stuff like that.
So. Wow.
We stayed together and we worked together, and our that way we were good together with the game guys. But hell, we go down and work the fish hatcheries, and we have to do the fish hatchery work and stuff like that if we needed to. You know, we did.
Mm-hmm.
And but we didn't do it forever. We did just, you know, a week or two or a month, maybe, depending on what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a big job done by a lot of guys that had different jobs normally.
Hmm. Let's see. I
say guys, I shouldn't do that. Because at that time there were no feminine game wardens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They came along after I'd left. Not that I have anything against them, but they just weren't doing it.
It was just the...
They worked for all the guys. Those women are real good. They worked for big game, small game. Everything, fish hatcheries and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you describe how state budget issues affected your job? Like, during times that maybe there were cuts in that, or there was maybe a surplus that changed the way?
We had to. But, you know, we still lived on all our license money.
Okay.
But we got some federal money, too. Huh. And when in the winter, we'd hire a lot of temporary help. I mean, in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't need it in the winter.
Yeah.
And a lot of your country was snowed up, did this, and you know, you just didn't have to worry that much about it. And then the cooperation between all the game... clubs, people, they really help. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you need some help, you say, God, I need some guys.
You,
these guys, okay, where do you want us? You know?
There was a lot of community support.
A lot of community support. Okay. And it's lucky we did, because without it, we'd be in trouble. But we did. Mm-hmm. But we get sent, sometimes if you're working up here, you get sent to the middle of Imperial Valley during the dove season, things like that, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Do you feel that for the work that you did, did you receive a reasonable compensation for your work?
Well, it's enough. I could make a living.
Okay. No, that's good.
I don't think we're as fair, because then the CHP weren't big either.
CHP and game wardens, fishing game, they weren't together in this, or?
Well, no, they just weren't. I mean, but then their salaries, you didn't worry about, because there was no really CHP, there weren't many of them. Then they got expanded, and they got the great big higher salaries, but the wardens never were able to follow it, because we didn't have the political power.
Oh, okay. I see.
Be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Nope. That's completely fine. Let's see. During your experiences or in your knowledge, has urban development affected the state of wildlife?
Sure.
Has it changed kind of
absolutely.
Just the way, like, boundaries of reservation or preservations.
Boundaries of where the animals live.
Uh-huh.
You know, hell. there's places, you know, there weren't houses or anything.
Yeah.
That's where the animals were. And now they squeeze them in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I know, like, south of Sacramento, there's the Summit River Wildlife Reserve,
there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
Now. And then, too, you had the more and more people, citizens, wanting to cut off the hunting, cut off the fishing.
Uh-huh.
don't touch it. And we tried to tell them, it's a matter, you touch it, you manage it. And if it's got to be cut off, you cut it off. If you don't, you let people use part of it. You know, it's, but this is okay. It's going on all the time.
Yeah. In some of the work that you did as a game warden, were there any significant endangered species or habitat planning issues that you were involved in that you can maybe describe?
Well, as I say, we work so closely with all of them. If they got a herd of deer out, they got to protect, or a herd of elk, they got to protect, or if you got some fish, you got to protect. Mm-hmm. Everybody did it.
Okay.
This not the game warden or the fish guy. We did it together.
Okay.
You know, we had to plant fish by ear. Everybody. I had to make my trips the goddamn rear end, pull those handles, and make them go down. I mean, you know, things like that.
Were there any different types of game wardens or different types of responsibilities that some game wardens had compared to others?
Yes.
Like, was it related to maybe terrain or assignment?
Well, Jenna, you got an assignment. Like, if you were assigned commercial fishing, you're pretty well stuck commercial fishing, but if you saw a guy doing something wrong there, you got him anyway. You don't know. And we had some guys that liked that, and they stayed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And other guys that didn't, like me, I kept moving all over with it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's good. When I was running the boats out of Ventura, and I lived in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And my wife said, I could see you coming in from the other island or over there or down the coast, and I knew just how long you were going to be before you docked that boat and got up here for dinner.
you've kind of already talked about some differences between fish and game wardens and law enforcement mm-hmm. officers, and that there what kind of interactions did you as a warden have with different law enforcement agencies?
If the local police department mm-hmm. or if the sheriff or they want to help, they call me up and say, hey, goddamn it, Charlie, we got this jerk down here doing this and we need some help. And away you went.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you do any, as a game warden, did you participate in any undercover work? Or is that more kind of recent stuff with game wardens that goes on?
If they needed a guy undercover, they would send me in an area where I'd never worked. Now, you take right here, the big duck country.
Okay, yeah.
And they always sent, when I was down in Santa Barbara, they'd say, hey, we need a guy to get up here and catch some of these guys, mm-hmm. you know. And you had to be undercover, and we did it.
Okay. You've kind of gone into detail already and previously, but what are some of your own experiences that you can recall, whether in the field or maybe with community support, like you were talking about with the Hearst mm-hmm. and that? Is there some other things that come to mind?
Well, you tried to get along with all the people, especially the ranchers, because they had both the country mm-hmm. where the deer and the other animals were. But you did it also with your city folks, because they had problems this much, but different.
Sometimes what some people would call encroachment.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But you work with them.
Mm-hmm. And in other words, you're pretty much a mediator.
Yeah. It was, you get together and do what you can. And a lot of times, you know, you didn't like because you had to remove some animals.
Mm-hmm.
Or you didn't want to remove them, depending, sometimes you're against the citizen, but you got together and tell them, well, what's the reasons for this and the reason for that?
We're going to go back a little bit, can you just...
Now, in the meantime, we'd be like, if we were really working real close with, say, big game for something, like when we put... What are those horns? They're one of the Mendocino horns.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
But we would work real close, and they may send us to their schools, the big game guys, when they were learning something, so we could get the same learning, so we could help them.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Like, so we're going to go back just a little bit.
We still work under two as a Fish and Game Commission.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. Can you describe maybe what an average day was like for a fish and game warden? Like, when you were working in Los Angeles or in
Marlboro? Depending on two things. Depending on the first, if you in your district, you had the kind of things that you were working on a lot of time, depending on what time you went to work.
Okay.
We didn't have any 8-to-5s. Mm-hmm. If you had some country where you had to be out there at daylight, mm-hmm. I don't know, or it's the same way it's dark,
mm-hmm.
and you worked that according to what it was and why.
Okay.
And it had to work. I'm so used to, I get up at 4 o'clock every morning. I don't need to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning now, Christ. But I do, it's habit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I always worked in the country a lot, that you get out when the animals start to get out, and you mm-hmm. see where they were and what they were doing. Like when the Cal Poly guys were doing an experiment on rattlesnakes. And they said, God damn it, Charlie, you're always out there before everybody else, and you know we see where the rattlesnakes go. Maybe you can help us, but how about collecting some for us, alive?
Mm-hmm. So you had to work with catching live rattlesnakes.
I did it. But I would be out there in the back sandy roads, and I could see where the rattlesnakes move first and all this, and all I just get out of the car and go, got a fork stick, and I get them, and I die.
Mm-hmm.
Put them a gunny sack and throw them in my trunk. And my wife wouldn't ride in my car anymore for a long time. But things like that, and then I'd help the guys at school, you know. Mm-hmm. And you had to work together with the whole community.
But. Yeah. Okay. Did you develop any special? Skills or knowledge while working as a game warden? Like, did you start to become more knowledgeable about the different species and habitats and that?
You had to. You were going to be a game warden, you cannot just say, well,
yeah.
You had to learn about that thing and why he did this and why he did that, or you're never going to find out about it, and you're never going to be able to catch him and mm-hmm. move him and whatever happened. You had to, and usually I got the big game guys, hey, how is this goddamn thing? And he'd teach me then, and I'd teach him about it. He'd help me, and I'd help him. So.
Because when you started in the 40s this was before Academy, you and other game wardens at that time were learning on the job.
On the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of them were old timers then too, you know. I'll tell you this, mm-hmm. we tried to learn it all. Like I used to like the fish. I fished in the ocean. My dad liked it. So, but when I was a kid. But I learned afterwards that with working with all the other guys and the people, there's all kinds of things. I had to learn everything. And hell, now I just fish with a fly. But you had to learn all those things so you know what's going on. You see something going on, you can pretty well figure what's going by what it's doing.
Mm-hmm. And, okay. Can you recall or describe any unique experiences you had as a game warden?
Probably did. I don't remember them all.
It's okay. Did you kind of went into this with
you? I like it. You know, when I said it was duck country here.
Uh-huh.
They used to send me up, and I'd hide out. I'd have to go out in the middle of the day and hide in the goddamn swamps. And then when the ducks all moved at night. And that's when the night hunters came out, and then they'd really shoot ducks. I mean, it was Jesus, but and you have to chase them. And they knew where to cross the channels, and you didn't. And you'll end up deep in that channel. Oh. I run like hell at night, you know. Flop. And you know, it's interesting because these guys that were shooting many times would come back and say, "Are you okay?" Because he knew where we were. And if you say, "Yeah, I'm goddamn it, I'm okay," they said, "Goodbye."
Did you have to deal with any criminal activity or environmental issues? Did you have any pet peeves while you were a game warden?
Oh, you do. You get to where you really start to enjoy some animals. Now, to me, the most pretty and the nicest and nicest animal we've got is the state mountain lion.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the most beautiful thing. And I don't want to shoot him. Mm-hmm. I don't want to kill him. But it's things like you learn about a lot of little animals. Mm-hmm. It, you know, you're going to see them when they go through the grass, you know. And they, and you get where you get some what you call pets. Mm-hmm. I mean, not pet in a way.
Yeah.
That you seem to, and I used to read all the books I could on these animals. Mm-hmm. And find out what the books say about them, and then what I find out about them, I'm just working with it. And it took you some self-training. I bet I got a library of books back there on everything animal in the country. Uh-huh. But it's that way.
What is your opinion on the growing use of environmental studies or practices in the work of fishing game? It's a little more recent. What do you think about the more use of environmental work getting into it, or has there been really a change?
Oh, there's a lot of change. Uh-huh. But I think it was a lot easier for us. Like if you had a big rancher out there, and mm-hmm. if you could convince him, "Hey, don't do this and this, and leave him alone a little bit," or "Can I help you get rid of him?" Mm-hmm. Something like this. But now it's more different guys in the houses. But it's something you got to learn, and you got to get people reasons so you can be more of an expert with it. Because they'll come to you, and they say, "Hey, what about it? That animal gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's around doing this. You won't see him in the middle of the day, and you know things like this." Mm-hmm. And they'll listen to you, and pretty soon you can convince them to how to protect or not protect whatever's necessary.
Okay. How do you think the average citizen perceives the role of a warden? And this could be either maybe if you can recall when you were a warden, or maybe nowadays if you...
Well, I can't say nowadays, nah. But they did, but they like... I got along in the community. If you didn't, right. You don't get very far. I'll tell you that.
That's true.
And that doesn't mean you don't do your job.
Yeah. So you, in the beginning, you already explained when you retired from working from as a warden, you moved on to working. You kept going on from warden all the way up to director, and then moved on to working for a couple of years for President Reagan with international fishing game. Pretty much.
Let me give you an idea what the things I learned and did. And how much it helped me. I learned so goddamn much, and just a minute. I'm gonna turn that off for a second. Mm-hmm. With fishing game.
Uh-huh.
Then 8 more with the Federals. And then 5 just on my own doing practicing tricks. But so.
Okay, so yeah, with the retirement. you've pretty much already said, one question is, are you still active in the outdoors, or still keep in contact with fishing game? And you said you do a lot of the backcountry or high country stuff, so.
Yeah.
The tours.
Like, yeah, and I'm going to take, they want me to put together this tour this week. I mean, mm-hmm. not this week, but this year.
The tour for the governor, yeah.
Yeah, well, they call it now the Fishing Game Commission trip. And that's a pain in the ass. It's nice.
Uh-huh.
And we do it. I do it every year.
Okay.
And even though I'm 90 years old.
Would you recommend the occupation of being a game warden to another person?
Yes.
Yes.
But you got to get a guy that's interested in the animals and the fish and the game. They got to be, you just can't just be a cop.
Because nowadays...
You got to know what you're doing and why do you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we protecting the field mice? Or why are we protecting something else?
Mm-hmm.
It's all that needs to be done.
What do you see in the future of fishing game?
I could be here forever. But they changed it. Now they're more of a policeman.
So maybe there could be a change in the future.
But you know, you get more and more people. Kids are coming out of college and they're experts on animals and experts on this and experts on that.
Mm-hmm.
I know when we had the damn whale that came up the river, and we had a hell of a time getting it out of the river.
I think I remember that, yeah.
God damn, I had a...
Mm-hmm.
But things like that, and because everybody was interested in my group, didn't listen to all these other people outside the newspapers, and they got that goddamn whale to turn around and go back.
That was one of the major feats for fishing game.
Yeah. So anyway, it's you got to be interested in if you're just going to be a cop, forget the fishing game part.
Mm-hmm.
Go be a cop, put on CHP, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be interested in the animals and why and what for and how do they fit into our country.
Okay. Well, that's it for my questions. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention?
Oh, we could go on for a week.
Maybe in the future there's some time in that. All right, then. We will end it